Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, my friends. Happy Tuesday. And welcome to another Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast with me, your host, Andy Goldstein. It says here in front of me, we've got loads of good stuff coming up in the podcast. We'll be the judge of that, producer Tom. Including the reaction to last night's Premier League clash between Southampton and the champions Liverpool. And as things currently stand, as I record this, it's Southampton 1, Liverpool 0. Come on, say. Anyway, we start in a slightly more serious manner than usual, but for good reason. In light of some of the recent COVID-19 regulation breaches by top-flight footballers, many pundits and presenters have voiced their concerns on the TalkSport network. You'll hear from Adrian Durham and Darren Goff on Drive, The Man on Sunday's Ollie Holt, Danny Murphy, Aston Villa CEO Christian Perslow, Watford captain Troy Deeney, but we start with John, a very passionate caller, on the Jim White and Simon Jordan show.
I actually do work in the NHS at our Brighton Hospital, and I've seen people with COVID. It's not nice. It can affect anybody. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, it doesn't matter whether you're poor. You can get it. Now, the way I would say it is simply this. If these people, unfortunately, do think they are immune to it because of either precondition or whatever, let them come to work in a ward for one day. Let them see... Let them see the people who are dying from this disease and us who are having to fight to keep it going. They're the people who should be going to these places. They do it one day and they won't ever do it again, I can assure you.
As some breaking news has just been revealed, and three Tottenham players and one West Ham star broke COVID-19 rules in Tier 4 by spending Christmas Day together.
Again, not making any excuses for people because we've all got family that we'd all love to see. Like, my nan's birthday was the first. I haven't seen my nan over Christmas. I miss that. So for me, it does feels like you're sticking two fingers up to me a little bit, because why am I following rules when you're not?
We have Pep Guardiola at the weekend basically saying, well, everybody else is breaking the rules, so what's wrong with what Mendy has done? I couldn't get my head around. I had to rewind and listen again.
I would like to know how many people were more than five or six previous people at home in this New Year's Eve. I'm pretty sure many. But normally in this society, we judge the other ones, and this society will be better in the first to judge the other one, judge ourselves.
Does he not realise that a lot of us, and I'll give you the example of myself, I, for the first time in my life ever, I didn't spend Christmas or New Year with my daughter. It broke me, absolutely broke me. You've got to deal with it.
I've not seen my dad for 6 months.
And he's saying we're all like Benjamin Mendy breaking the rules. How dare you, Pep Guardiola? Who the hell do you think you are? He should apologise to people. He should get himself to an IC unit at his local hospital just to see how difficult it is, and then go on telly and say, oh, Mendy's done nothing wrong. Absolute disgrace.
And I was saying, in my position as a head teacher, that you have to think about every single thing you do, and footballers need to do that too, and they must set the example. We have a non-uniform day. Children come in their football shirts. They absolutely idolise them. The clubs need to take a stronger stance on this.
There are moments when young people will stray from the rules. And, you know, whether you're a parent or a chief executive of a football club, that's a time when you have to be very strict and remind people of their responsibilities.
I didn't care about people like you two or me on a radio show telling me what I should and shouldn't do. My ego was too big. You know, that my inflated self-worth and my walking on air, if you like, was too great for me to care what people think. And if you want to have an opinion, fine. It's water off a duck's back. I'll carry on doing what I'm doing because I'm a big-time footballer. And that's the mentality. That's the way it is.
You say on one hand they're not role models. Right, but the footballers will say, the reasons why we're taking the knee is because we carry such influence. We can influence the way the world thinks. So on one hand, you want all the benefits. When it comes to you being accountable for your own behaviour, whatever we think of these rules, however draconian and ridiculous we may think things are, if you're telling me that these players do not know, have not been told by their clubs what their obligations are, then with due respect, I'm a monkey's uncle because they will have been told.
So what has got to happen? These clubs have got to protect what it is, football. It's all right, the footballers taking on their wage every day. It's about everything else, the knock-on effect from the sponsorship and everything that goes with it. Put them in a bubble. They can't be trusted out of it for the next 6 weeks till we get out of the worst case scenario, what is going on at this moment in time.
If there's much more of this stuff, if we get many more COVID tests, we're already seeing some games being postponed. This isn't just about a couple of individuals putting stuff up on Instagram and having a bit of a laugh with their friends. This could mean the suspension of the Premier League if there's much more of this behaviour.
Over now to my show, Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. with, of course, me, Andy Goldstein, and the fun boy, Jason Cundy, reacting to that game, Southampton against Liverpool in the Premier League. By the way, as I'm watching it, it's still 1-0 Southampton.
And there goes the full-time whistle. Defeat for Liverpool. Three successive Premier League games without a win for the first time since 2018.
Liverpool are definitely off colour. There's no question of that. The last three games, we've seen all of them. West Bromwich Albion, toothless after that first half performance. Toothless against Newcastle. Toothless tonight. And this is the front three. Now, look, they've got Jota missing, right? Then that's a big miss. It's just not happening for them at the moment. They're flat.
And decision-making was not that good. So last pass missed. We missed the last pass. And I heard an hour second ago we had only one shot on target. So we had a lot of shots next to target, which is a finish as well. But even of them, we didn't have probably enough for the moments we had. So our fault, my responsibility, that's it.
There is something wrong. And you don't put people in the wrong positions. Henderson is not a defender, he's a midfielder. He should have put Henderson in midfield, keep him there. Bring on Phillip, but don't put Henderson in defence because he's not a defender. And because they had a weak defence, that's why they conceded. And Southampton shut up shop and stopped Liverpool from scoring.
Southampton 1, Liverpool 0. Liverpool's jitters away from home continue. And it's a landmark moment for one of their former players, Danny Ings, with his 50th Premier League goal.
I don't know when I started to believe that we definitely can take points there, but it is very emotional, and I must say I have never been that proud with any team I have coached before, I must say.
Now, are Manchester United genuine title contenders? Yes, of course they are, but that's according to Rangers legend Ali McQuist. We'll hear from Quisty shortly, but first, this is Troy Deeney, or Deeney. I've just said that. Nicknames don't really work with him. Anyway, he was talking about the new winning mentality at Old Trafford.
I'd probably say up to the Sheffield United game, but when they played West Ham, they were blown out of the park in the first half, and then they go and score three quality goals, and it's a 3-1 victory, and everyone goes, oh, this is the Man U we're talking about. And that was been the problem. We're always going, that's the Man U we expect. And there is high expectations when you're talking about Man United as a football club.
Rashford's got Cavani inside the box. He's tried to come in on his left foot, gets a shot away, takes a deflection and sneaks in. And Manchester United win it in stoppage time. How many times over the years have you heard that?
I think what I've seen now is a determination and a we're not going to lose mentality.
Mm.
Whereas before, I think there was a bit of a wobble where they probably could lose, they probably could go under.
Martial and Rashford, Fernandes, just top players playing at a good level. So of course they've got to be in the. I mean, are we still saying it's just going to be Liverpool and Manchester City between them? No, because I think they'll have a big say in it. But come on, Manchester United have earned the right to get our respect and be quoted as serious title contenders, I think.
Now, you may remember in the previous podcast we had some disgruntled Chelsea fans after the Blues lost at home against Man City. Play disgruntled Chelsea fans. And maybe a bit of laughter track as well.
I'm angry. I'm disillusioned. I'm frustrated. The problem is the players are not having anything from Frank. They don't believe in him again. There is absolutely no leaders in that side whatsoever.
You'll hear from the Chelsea fan Andy Jacobs, of course, part of Hawksby and Jacobs, who is equally angry But here's a more measured take on Frank Lampard's plight with his former teammate Gianfranco Zola, The Times' Henry Winter and Daniel Murphy, a.k.a. Danny Murphy.
And I don't think there's any need to be hasty, but we are talking about Chelsea. So if you were to say to me, coming up on the screen in front of you now, breaking news on Sky, that Chelsea have got rid of him, that wouldn't surprise me, because it's Chelsea. But I certainly don't think that would be the right thing to do. I think there's lots of positives at Chelsea and lots to look forward to. And they'll come again this season. They'll finish in the top four, Chelsea.
We made Arsenal look brilliant, and now they've gone on a run. City haven't done that to anybody else this season except Chelsea. You've got to ask yourself, you know, it's all very well saying, oh, they played well, they had this, they did that. They were allowed to play well.
Chelsea 0, Manchester City 3. You come to me just as Kevin De Bruyne turns in a fantastic goal.
They're way off the pace. They don't look like turning it round. I suppose you've just got to give it a bit more time. But if it carries on like this, you have to think you've got a manager like Tuchel who's available.
I believe that Frank has the potential, he has the ability, he has the squad to, you know, to make it better. That's for sure. That's without question for me.
He did well in his first season at Chelsea. There's so much loyalty and love for him there, particularly amongst the fans. Obviously, we know how ruthless Abramovich, the owner, can be. He went on beating 14 games earlier in the season. I think, look, he's going to be given the time. There will be a little bit of patience with him.
I don't know how long it can go on for. I mean, we feel that if they don't get a result against Fulham, he's going to be in big trouble, really.
Now, should Leeds United and Marcelo Bielsa change their style for anybody? Absolutely not, according to Adrian Durham. And this is why.
Did anybody really predict that Leeds were going to go to Spurs and win the game? Even if they'd shut up shop, with three centre-backs out injured, how are they meant to shut up shop? Do people not understand football? It's just unbelievable. Right, Leeds' priority at the start of the season, after coming up, what's that? It's survival. Bearing in mind, short pre-season as well. So it's a very different season. So the newly promoted clubs are all going to struggle. Look at the other two. Look at the other two and how much they're struggling.
Harrison looks to play a 1-2 with Bamford. Harrison in the area, makes it 3. That's glorious. Absolutely glorious from Leeds United.
Leeds United are on 23 points. 12 points. 4 wins above the relegation zone. And people are saying, oh, they need to change. Do you understand anything about football? Leeds' priority was survival. Bielsa's priority was style. They've got both. What's the problem? I don't get it. What's the problem? Nobody's explained it to me. Why have they got to change?
Now, ahead of tonight's live commentary, Carabao Cup semi-final between Spurs and Brentford on TalkSport, Ian Moussey-Abrahams has been speaking to the Bees boss, Thomas Frank, ahead of one of the biggest games in the club's history. But first, this is the take of the Tottenham manager, Jose Mourinho.
For me, every competition is different, and doesn't matter the club where you are, doesn't matter the ambitions that you have. Every competition is important. That's my way of looking at things.
History is made. Jose Mourinho equals the greats with a fourth League Cup win, and most significantly has won his first trophy as the Manchester United manager.
Especially in a club without silverware for more than one decade, every competition becomes even more important. If we win two matches, we win a trophy. Two difficult matches, of course. Two difficult matches, of course. But if we win two matches, we win the trophy, which I think would be a very good thing for the club.
Josh De Silva makes it first time on the edge of the area and volleys the ball past Carl Darlow and volleys Brentford into the lead.
I've studied football for many, many years, and Jose has been, is one of the greatest in all time. It's a privilege to meet him and to play against his team. I'm looking forward to that. But we all want to compete, and I want to win. He want to win, and we'll do everything we can to win both managers of both of us. I'm not in doubt about that.
And we finish with the radio legends that are Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs, who celebrated their 200th anniversary together on TalkSport. I think that's meant to be 20th. Oh no, 200th. As you may know, they're famous for their weekly feature, Clips of the Week, which is available as a podcast, would you believe? Well, this is the two of them recording arguably the most famous one ever over the last couple of decades with TV critic Gary Bushell. Is that the right link? I heard two different stories.
It involved Alan Brazil and Mike Parry working together on Breakfast, and they were joined by the esteemed TV reviewer and columnist Gary Bushell, who was chatting to him about Bob Monkhouse. This is how it all unfolded.
I feel a bit of a fraud today.
Why?
Because I wasn't watching any TV last night. I was at the filming of the BAFTA tribute for Bob Monkhouse over at the BBC.
Is that right? But that was a bit of fun.
Oh, there were some really nice contributions from a lot of good people, including some of the best of the younger comics around now. You like Jack D, Jimmy Carr, Steve Coogan.
Yeah.
And the clips were absolutely sensational. They got all his greatest one-liners, his acting roles, nostalgia by the bucket. I mean, you forget he was in things like Carry On Sergeant, and as well as...
Well, many people, Gary, forget that he's one of the greatest stand-up comics you've ever seen.
I saw him
years ago when I was still a reporter in Chester, and at the time we only knew him as the host of the Golden Shot or whatever, you know?
I tell you what, he's got a great... you know, if he has to, he can do a blue version as well, which is meant to be fantastic.
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, you can get those on video still, on DVD probably now. This show goes out the weekend after next on BBC One. You're absolutely right. You're left with no doubt that Monkhouse was a giant.
Yeah, sure. But no, absolutely.
Gary, what about Bob's health now?
He died at Christmas.
I think Mr. Brazil was just looking a little bit back there rather than forward.
Well,
you're absolutely right.
I heard two different versions of it, to be honest.
The terrible thing
two
was
different
that
versions,
they
I was told.
Two different versions.
Yeah, what were those two different versions?
And Gary Bushell joins us now. Good afternoon, Gary.
How are you?
Not bad.
Thanks, Gary.
It still makes me laugh.
Yeah, I always felt for you. The alarm bells were slightly ringing when he started to talk about Bob's Blue Act in the present tense, and you're thinking, where's he going with this? And then, I mean, for that moment, there is that pause, Gary, because
I'm thinking, what the hell?
It's not an easy one to deal with on live radio, is it?
Mr. Parry's cover-up we've always liked, that he tried to sort of protect Alan from... And then Alan compounds it by saying there were two different versions, and you think, well, what were they?
Who was going around saying Bob was still alive? do people ask you about that when they see you?
Funny enough, even this week on Instagram, Bob, it was 17 years since Bob died. Oh, God, a couple of days ago, wasn't it? A few days ago. And I just put a picture up on Instagram and someone put in, how is Bob's health? Even now.
It's funny, isn't it?
I don't know what Alan puts it down to. I mean, we've talked to him about it and he says, you get up at 5:30 every, and he had a little mental switch off. But it made for a bit of radio gold, I think.
That's nearly it for another podcasty thing. A reminder that from 7 p.m. live on TalkSport, it's Spurs against Brentford. That's the semi-final of the Carabao Cup, would you believe? Yeah, I know, incredible. Presented by Mark Shouty Saggers.
Oh, not always shouty!
Commentary from Jim Proudfoot and Andy Townsend. I'm back, of course, on Andy Goldstein Sports Bar tonight from 10 p.m. on TalkSport, taking your calls after that game. There will, of course, be another one of these Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcasts out first thing in the morning. So do what you've got to do to get it. Until then, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.